Blog Talk Radio.
This is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron. Coming at you live with another edition of the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. Tonight we have a special guest, Joey Giambra, one of the most deserving fighters ever for a title shot. We never got one. And we'll talk to him more about that and some other things. But I also coincidentally hooked up with somebody with a phone today who knows Joey very well, just to train with him, and we're going to surprise him with that call halfway into our conversation there. But that should be good. We're going to have two guys who have been around the sport for a while talking to each other who used to work together, so it should be good stuff. And we also have Danny McDermott coming on in the 9:30 hour, so we're going to have a pre-packed show, and we're already getting a little bit of a late start here, so. I did watch some boxing this weekend, believe it or not, and I also watched some MMA, so I'm going to cover that really quickly. We didn't talk about it last week, but the Cotto fight, Cotto versus Cloney, I finally caught up and watched that, and man, it was a close one for Cotto. A lot of the HBO announcers had it tied going to the last round, so.
I got to ask about the speed of the winner. I never got to talk about the whole thing.
also have a response for Antonio Margarito. He was beating Margarito over the first three rounds, and he broke it down. So he took a 9 rounds with Margarito one hand. And made it the distance, which is saying that the first there. Margarito had the 30 rounds from now, which will not have the
Now he turned it over to Vladimir's brother, Vitaly, who I actually enjoy watching. I mean, he's not as skillful, he's not as fast, he's not as fluent as Vladimir, but it's the two things he has. A tremendous killer instinct and a good chin. So, I mean, look up, he's not a fight kid. And, you know, I mean, he fought Ronnie Lewis, you know, toe-to-toe. And he goes out there, and when he fought Lewis, like, he fought Carlos Gomez, he went out there and stripped him apart. Now, I read a report earlier this week, they were trying to sign a fight between Vitaly Klitschko and Nicolai Valiyev. But it's not Valiyev and Ruiz first again. It's the third or fourth time they fought, but not for four to be shit.
So, I wouldn't mind seeing, and I think it would be a good fight for Vitaly. It's really big time recognition. He's a guy that's 6'7". He powers over just about anybody he fights. But imagine him being on the part of David and then having the slave alive. So, the part of these things lock, because everybody's like, okay, he's just a guy that he's the bigger guy. He's got to prove something to me.
Yeah, it was funny, the announcers on that Klitschko fight were talking about how the brothers would never fight each other, but they were speculating who would win, and both guys said that it was going to be Vitaly. So, yeah, that's interesting. But we got some big fights this weekend. Looks like a couple of good cards on HBO. One's this regular HBO Golden Boy Promotions card. Victor Ortiz fighting for the WBA World Light Welterweight title. Is 24-1 with 19 knockouts. And he's fighting Marcos Rene Maidana, 25-1 with 24 knockouts. That should be a good slugfest. At light welterweight there. And then we have Craig McEwen at middleweight, an 8-rounder. He's 15-0 with 9 knockouts versus Darnell Dillon, 16-10 with 6 knockouts. And your boy, Willis Lockett. You guys are always talking about down there at Lock Haven. 12-8. I don't know. Lockett was there wasn't didn't Lockett fight yeah, you know him. Enrique Arenales is his next opponent at middleweight, 8-rounder, 28-5 with 18 knockouts, so Willis is like he's stepping it up right there. He's probably gonna lose this one. Although it shows that Enrique lost his last fight, so I don't know what's going on there. But anyway, there's a couple other good fights rounding off that one, but I want to go to this next pay-per-view one first, where we get the WBO Super Bantamweight title on the line between two guys who are undefeated in the HBO pay-per-view fight at the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City, New Jersey, this weekend, Saturday night. It's between Juan Manuel Lopez, 25-0 with 23 knockouts, and Olivier Alonchi, 18-0 with 8 knockouts and 2 draws. And then Yuri Foreman, another guy you know, don't you? He's 27-0 with only 8 knockouts, but he's fighting Cornelius Bundrich. Big name. 9-4, 17 knockouts. And then we have Jorge Arce in action at super flyweight, not the main event this time, but 51-5 is his record with 1 draw and 39 knockouts. He's fighting looks like a guy named Fernando Lissab. He was 19-1 with 2 draws. Doesn't seem like a fair fight to me. So how about you,
out there.
also got another card at the Roxy as well, right down the street from me. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get to this thing, but Campiello Promotions is putting it on. And the main event is a guy I've seen before. I interviewed through Fight News Unlimited once after a particularly good fight that he won at the Roxy, the first and the only real boxing, not the only one, but the first professional boxing fight I ever went to and covered at the Roxy. He fought him and won his fight. But he's surprisingly only 9-8 with 3 knockouts, but he's a great fighter at super bantamweight now. And he's fighting Mike Oliver, who is a protege of, I'm not sure if he is anymore, but he was, of the Iceman, John Scully. He's, 21-2 with 7 knockouts. And let's see if he can beat up on Costullo. Costullo had one of the greatest fights I've ever seen on ESPN against Dan Nguyen, another guy I saw in action. And Dan won by decision, but, I mean, it was a war. Elvin Ayala, I also saw at the Roxy the first time. He's 19-3 with 8 knockouts, and he's going to be fighting a super middleweight 6-rounder versus Danny Caminero. Our boy Danny O'Connor, 6-0, is going to be fighting at light welterweight 6-rounder versus Sebastian Hamill, 10-19. And a bunch of other guys on the card, not really worth mentioning, I guess, but they're on their way. There's a lot of good guys there. That's it for Saturday that I see here on this page. I don't know if there's anything else on this other page. We've got to get to the call pretty shortly here, but,
yeah. You just got to email me. You better
Another fight Saturday. Another HBO. I don't know how HBO is doing all this stuff on Saturday, but, another Golden Boy. That's, I guess, maybe listed twice. Or anything, so. My bad. One's pay-per-view and one's regular HBO. Looks like that's it for Saturday. I did want to mention before we get to the call, though, that the UFC Fight Night was live on Spike this weekend, and it was the finale of the Ultimate Fighter series there. And we saw some great fights on that card, namely the main event. But, of course, you know, you have to talk about the Ultimate Fighter guys. It was funny, the preliminary fights that they didn't show, I thought, were more interesting because the announcers, when you hear the announcers talk, it's like sometimes you can figure out that they know that not too many people are going to be listening to what they're saying. Because the first guy to fight from the Ultimate Fighter series that I watched was Jason Dent, the guy we had on way, way back when. I don't even know if you were around back then, but it was like back in the podcast days before the radio show, I think. And he was still doing preliminary fights in the UFC, but he went on the Ultimate Fighter show and got a lot of flack for his first fight. He looked really bad. And his second fight, he just barely hung in on, but he looked okay. So his last fight, I think, was the best of ever. And then he goes into the UFC here against this guy who's really tooling him up, making him look bad. And you got Joe Rogan in the background going, he looks really fat for a 155-pounder, you know, he's carrying a lot of extra weight around his stomach, you know, that's pretty bad, like, he just keeps going off on it for like a minute straight, and then the next thing you know, the kid gets what's called an anaconda choke, and, you know, here, it's like almost like he heard Joe Rogan blasting him on TV and just locks up the choke, it's like, oh, it's so funny, and, so then, you know, you have the real fights, you know, Ross Pearson versus Andre Winner was a great fight. Pearson ended up winning it out in the end just on heart, I think, alone. But that was a great fight. That kind of set the stage for the finale, which was one of the best UFC fights I've seen in a long while. I have to say, since the last fight I talked so much about between Clay Guida and I can't think of the guy's name right now, but it was another main event, fight night type deal, and it was a slugfest. And this one was no different. This was only different because there was a little bit more of a tactician on the other end of it. But the last time Clay was in a fight like this, it was just an absolute slugfest. It was almost all on the feet. There were very little kicks at all. This time Diego was a little bit more of a well-rounded type of guy, and he had a little more tools than Clay did. But I'll tell you, he still put on a great show and losing Clay did. He took a kick to the head that I don't think any other UFC fighter, any MMA fighter anywhere could have taken like he did. It just kept coming. And Diego won the fight. But, man, it's amazing that Clay was able to weather a lot of those shots and still keep coming right back slugging. And a lot of the fight was on the feet, and the UFC and the MMA fans are craving that more and more these days. And they get very impatient when things go to the ground and when there's no action. You always hear the boos now. So it really wasn't any boos at all for this fight. And it lived up to the billing. And Diego Sanchez looks like somebody that's definitely going to make a title run. I'd like to see him fight some of the other names that are looking for titles, too, to really put together some super fights here that everybody wants to see. But Clay was definitely there to fight and put on a great show. And if you can find it online somewhere, get it to the UFC vault there, I definitely recommend checking that out. Fight to watch all around, and one of the things that really impressed me, not necessarily impressed me, but kind of entertained me, was the stare down before the fight in the talk. These guys were talking to each other in the fight, and you could hear it on the mic at one point. You know, I think Clay said to Diego, you know, get at work or something, get to work. It was crazy. It was good stuff, though. And, you know, they were just, like, one of them was saying before the fight, this is my cage, and the other guy was just giving me a look, just back and forth, and then they fought, and it was like, immediately slugging each other, and all they had, right off the bat, right off the bell. But anyway, we have to get to Joey Giambra here, who's going to be on with us this week, and Tony, why don't you just give us a little introduction to who Joey's all about, because I only know so much.
I actually came in contact with Joey on MySpace a few months ago. You know, he sent me a friend request. And it was a friend of mine. He was a friend of mine from back in 1999. And he was great. And, you know, he came back to me on boxrec.com to verify it. And that's why I was on his request. So it was quite factor to that decade to play a lot of good players. So it was vital to part of it.
Auditor right now. I haven't been for years and years and years.
the arena in Boston I was looking at.
Yeah. And I looked at Joe DiNucci's record, and I didn't realize he had fought that many guys. A lot of guys who were just kind of lopsided records. But he fought a few good guys, too. Well, lost a lot of the fights against good guys, but he beat every bum out there there was. And caught Joey, looks like, at the tail end of his career and had a good fight against him.
Yes. Here is my father.
Joey.
You're welcome.
Joey.
Hey. Oh,
doing great tonight. How are you doing?
You know, I was late, so I was
here watching. Well, so glad to have you on.
Bob was very heavily involved in those days. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
We'll talk about a school. You know, I just it's in my book anyway, but I said that the holdback was money. I mean, that was a whole deal. Because I wouldn't go if they wanted to buy my contract, you know. And that's the reason why I talked myself away from it. I even told the boxing promoter, if I don't go with them, do I stay with the show in the Madison Square Garden? And he started laughing, you know, and says, you're the best player around right now, Joey. They're going to watch on television, so we're not going to hold you back. But you'll never get a title shot. That's exactly what he told me.
Here, when you fought Bobo Olsen, non-title match, national TV, and you got Olsen in trouble on a couple occasions, but you still came out with a very controversial split decision, and you believe that was also tied into that?
Well, the arena was, Olsen was from San Francisco, he was living in San Francisco, he was a hometown boy, and his people, his fans and so forth, they were booing to the situation, but by the time it was, I think if they can boo him, you know, being the hometown boy, I figured, well, I'd have to fight, I was in the army, and took a total of the fight, and I did very well. In fact, it was the best thing I could have done, because when I got back to camp, I got professional services. I was a boxing coach.
I also see you that you were a referee after you retired.
Protected, yeah. And feel real about it.
Well, you know,
if you see the first book, The Uncrowned Champion, well, the second book is The Uncrowned Champion Revised. There's so much good stuff in it that you can't put it down, believe me. My daughter and my son together, they work it over. They're smart kids, these kids, and they're very sharp. My son's my manager, and my daughter, she's my writer. And we're working on I got a second and a third book, you know, that will be like a sequel of maybe like Stallone, you know. Yeah, so anyway, I feel the new book is going to be really a bestseller for me. And as soon as we get the, it's got the Neil Richards version, and it's got the boxing version, but the real bad stuff came out in the story when it worked out, you know, took us enough.
About how the, you know,
out of
the first
place. Yeah, you hear my son talking in the background?
Yeah, I heard the voice in the background, yes.
He reminded me that the mob, which I don't talk about too much, the mob was the background of the story. Because without a gun, I could never get shot. I wouldn't play that one. But I had a lot of respect for some of those mob people, because a lot of them were good guys, in my opinion, anyway. Yeah, so when you read the story, you'll see these guys talk about their little heartwarming family people, you know. But the old mafia was a different kind of breed altogether. Like the modern mafia was the cutthroats, you see. That's why
Well, actually, right now, I'm involved in a lot of investigative reporting from some old mob guys named the Fertittas. And their movie Casino was based on their operation out in Vegas. You know, this is back in the 60s when they really blew Vegas wide open. But in your era, like you said, it was a different story. And now what I'm finding with these guys and what I'm discovering through my reports is that they're not only more cutthroat nowadays, but they're more underworld now. You know, there's not too much press about them. They're not getting busted left and right, and they're keeping things very, very quiet. You know, you don't hear about murders all the time. It's very, very quiet, low key, and out of sight, out of mind.
Well, I'll tell you something right now. You're talking about the mafia. I'm going to let you know a secret, because you're going to get it in the book. Legal Genovese helped save my life. The mafia, when they tried to hit me. I'm
going to
try double fight. So I'm
going to
tell you. The rest you're
going to
find out when you
reason.
Okay?
Good. Well, let's try Mike again. We'll see if we can get you guys together here.
I have a feeling like he's
still
on the message,
so he'll kind of have a day. No, he's not answering his phone, I guess. Maybe he's out for the night.
Now that they're all dead, they're now it's in reverse. that's why they're looking. Oh, no, that's why I'm telling you how it's going to be. It's going to bring boxing back again, I think, in my opinion. It's going to bring boxing back. Because seeing as bad as it was, I still like to go to boxing game because I made something of myself.
I say the exact same thing. Because when I watch the boxing, I can see the little things. Like, I've been involved in it long enough time. I get to watch certain fighters and know their characteristics. That's the thing I really like. When you get to see that, and I'm just going to take a perfect example, Shane Mosley. Good fighter, fast, works hard. I can see a lot of times, the quarter from the outside, and then I'll start with that hook. And it's those things that, little things you like to see to watch. Again, I would love to see boxing here next year. I would love to see them Saturday afternoon fights again on network TV. That was when boxing was crazy. I was growing up. Most of my time growing up was the late 70s, early 80s with the Packers and the Leonards and the Hearns. All those guys like Tyson was first coming up again. And it was just an enjoyable way to grow up.
What's your next question?
One of the things that you'd like to see Sean with boxing. Another one thing I was going to see, things that you don't like about the current sport, things that you think can be improved.
Well, I'll tell you, my honest opinion, boxing will be better if they eliminate all these freaking champions. Because you have one division only, one featherweight, one lightweight of champion. Now you got too many champions, you don't know who the champs are, and people get confused. So I was a believer that having one individual title per person, that's where you should go with it. You can pass that out to the press if you want.
If they do that, when I go back to boxing now and try to be a professional, there's going to be no belts for me to win unless I make a career. Well, that's the philosophy behind it, I think, is that, you have people who you want to encourage, at a young age, who get into it. You want to give them some kind of reward, so that's why they have so many available titles, so that, they can give you some incentive as a young kid. Or even as an adult, coming back, a lot of these guys, Tony was talking, got us hooked up with his buddy, won some belt called the Machismo belt. And, we were laughing about it, making fun of it and stuff, and talking about the alphabet soup. But, when we got him on the phone and we were actually asking about it, and he was like, this is a really impressive belt. It looks great. I'm proud to wear it. And he was very, he wasn't running around pretending like he was champ of the world, but, he appreciated having that little belt. So I think that's the idea behind it. I'm not defending it, but, that's the reason.
One thing I disagree with all the belts out there, the world belts, WBAs and WBCs and all that, the reason they do that is to make their money out of people. If Joey was still today, the WBA said, if you want to rank you, you have to pay us 10% of your next purse. And the WBC would do the same thing. They don't care. They'll put a big body in the title shot, whether they earn it or not, just so they can make the money off it.
I'll tell you, in my opinion, you should have a runoff to have all the level champions fight each other and establish one champion in each strategic weight class. That's what I believe would make the game more better. Because, you have so many champions fighting, no one knows who they are. Believe me, even the top gun nuts, people who watch boxing a lot, are confused on who is the champion in that division. So I feel.
What makes it hard is not these organizations are doing things right. But the WBA does not because this person is to be champion, serve this for champion, we're going to have a champion underneath them. Now, I've been following boxing for a number of years, and I run for a boxing website. So, my job is to include everything going on in boxing. That's if it's the IBF to be lightweight champion. I don't know. I would have to look up on the website or look up in the magazine. And I like whatever the magazine's doing. recognize the alphabet soup titles anymore.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't know if you really not really do or not, but I'm not going to hold it against you. So probably boxing would be better off with what champions division.
Because well, I agree 100%.
Yeah. I feel like you should pass it on to all reporters at some point and see if they can get it out.
That's one of those things that I think it's just too entrenched the way it is. You know, you have to reverse so much course that nobody would be able to just rally around it because it wouldn't make anybody money, you know. Like Tony was saying.
Ring magazines rallying around it, but the fact is they're fighting up against a lot of money. They're fighting against the promoters and the organizations. You're fighting against money.
I think the secret is you gotta kind of got to come at it from a different angle now and realize that, hey, you know, boxing's not what it used to be. There's all this stuff where it makes it harder for you to identify with the guy, even with his contender show, you know, so still people don't know who the boxers are. And we had a woman, Keisha Morrissey, on who does a lot in the boxing circles down in New York City. And that was what she kept harping on. I said, you know, we really don't know these people. You know, we need to have more TV shows out there, more boxing on network TV, more highlights of the Olympic boxers coming up. You know, like I even saw it for the first time a couple of years ago. They had the national championships for boxing in college where we, Tony and I, fought. Or what we were supposed to fight, but we fight each other, but we fought at the same weight class. And they had that on one of these obscure cable channels, but it was still on TV. Yeah, it would be nice to have more of that on network TV. God knows they do it enough for other sports that we don't care about. Like golf, you know, you really want to watch golf all day?
Yep. Well, it's not happy to have eliminations of all the champions to make one. That's a nice, happy one. Yeah. I think that's what it needs. That's confusion, in my opinion, that boxing needs to get back on its feet now. And you've got some bad people involved in boxing in the higher ups. And that those guys are dictating all the rules. But once boxing came, the people who have war, like the promotion, whatever you call them, see, this is what you got to do.
One thing, obviously, you see more than anything else is people building these, you know, incredible records. Like the most famous local example you have to come up with here for me, I'm from Massachusetts, so it would be Peter McNeely. You know, he put this guy out there like this, you know, big guy worthy of fighting Tyson, and he doesn't even last a minute. Gets pounded out there, and you know, it's like they put him against all these bums to amp his record up there and give him a title shot there. And, you know, he was never qualified for it. And Tony and I do this thing. We look on BoxRec every week, and we call it the mismatch of the week. And we find guys who are just like professional opponents fighting guys who are like 29-0 or, you know, just have these great records, and they throw these mismatches out there. And, you know, people still get away with that.
It's like myself, but it's just so I'm 77 years old, you know. And I think that if I went boxing today, I'd be a champion in no time. Because I got one thing, I had condition, I had power, I got moves, I took a good punch, and I can box. So in all those requirements for a champion, if I feel that today, I'd be a champion of the world of all time. But of course, you can't go back. You know, all you gotta do is come up with the money that I'm working on, and it's going to be big again.
Well, a lot of people say that it's gone downhill, but I don't necessarily agree. I mean, for one thing, on my website, I get more boxing stories up there, you know, and more people entrenched in boxing sending me press releases and such than MMA. And, you know, the boxing has been around so long, and there are so many different outlets covering it, that MMA will never catch up to that entrenchment. It's been there, it has the history, people know about it. The only thing I'm seeing, though, is that the young kids who are, we need to pick it up as a sport, are just not that interested in it anymore, as they used to be. And I think that's the major problem. And, you know, you got shows like The Ultimate Fighter in MMA, that get kids interested. And, you know, for some reason, the mixed martial arts and the like that old cliche, you know, it just doesn't match up. I watched The Contender, and I'm like, you know, what the hell are they doing? This is not boxing. This is like a Rocky movie. You know, they're playing everything up and using all these special effects and dramatizing everything. It's just not real boxing. I'd like to see 3 rounds of real boxing against these guys with no, you know, cuts and scenes, cages, and all that
stuff. There's one question I wanted to ask you, and then we can have on the topic is, with the current sport today, are there any fighters that you still watch or just you admire, you respect?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I was saying, with today's sport, I know Oscar De La Hoya is really trying to, so he was really reach out between some of the promoters. I think having him kind of continue in the sport as promoter, as I think that's going to help out a lot because he's not, he's doing more for the sport, not for the fight. But I was asking if there's any fighters out there today that you folks really like, you really enjoy, admire, you know, whether it's me or trying to help them.
Is that a question?
So I was
asking
if there's any fighters that you admire.
Well, yeah, Oscar De La Hoya, I think he's a great fighter, you know, and he's a great asset to the boxing team. I mean, they should look him, the boxing commissioner, Charles Arroyo, and change some of the rules that they have out there, you know. And that's just one person. And, of course, what's his name? I can't get these brothers' names from ever and ever because...
Manny Pacquiao, the guy who beat Oscar? Is that who you're thinking of?
Champion. This guy is a world-class champion, too. I think anybody is right. I think there's no one to beat him, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen somebody that size. I mean, I have to say Mosley impressed me in his last fight a little bit, but Pacquiao, for his size, being even lighter than Mosley, packing that kind of power behind his punches, especially the hooks. He's like a little Mike Tyson with the way he fights these days.
Michael's was not a boxer. Michael's was a bomber, you know. He was a knockout artist, you know. And the only thing that beat Mike Tyson, in my opinion, was his messing around outside of the whip, you know.
Yeah.
The wrong kind of people. And there are people that were hangers on, that's what they call them. Hangers on, they hang around and then they train the guy.
He called them leeches. In this whole documentary there, that was a great movie to watch. I don't know if you've seen anything about it or heard about it, but there's a documentary out there that explains, you know, exactly how he came through the system, you know, what happened and how it happened. How is he doing financially? I don't know.
I think he's getting like big roles in movies now, so he can't be doing too good.
Forgiven him for all his bad stuff, now that they realize that there's nobody as excited as he used to be in the sport anymore. You know, like that could generate that kind of hype, and it's kind of sad. You know, it took that kind of monster, I guess, you know, it was outside the ring that he turned into. It's, you know, just a crazy nut that's just out there. And he had great boxing talent, of course, don't get me wrong. When he was good for a reason, because he studied the sport and he knew the sport and he was a natural at it. You know, but it's kind of sad that, you know, we know him as more of a freak show than as a boxer now.
Yeah, he was thrilled. I mean, he sounded like a kid in the candy store. He hadn't talked to you in a while, I guess, and he was
Yeah, I'd love that.
Well, exactly. You already missed it. Now, when you gave me a shot, you missed it twice.
Okay. Oh, well. Well, we'll have to get him on another show anyway. He sounds like an interesting character himself. And I noticed, speaking of local guys, I noticed the last fight on your card is with the Massachusetts State Auditor here in Abington, Massachusetts, right next door to Brockton. And DiNucci, yeah, he's been around for a while in Mass. He's been auditor for like 20 years, for Christ's sake.
I was
going to
say I was wrong.
You probably were. DiNucci, you probably were. DiNucci to me sounds like might be a mafia name right there.
He was
a wise guy,
I guess, you know.
Anyway,
that part of the world
they call
him wise guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the guy with the last name there, and state auditor for 20 years. I don't know how he does it, but.
Well, it's funny. You put all this culture work, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, too. He fought most of his fights in Boston, and he just kind of fought piecemeal, good guys here and there, but he lost most of the fights that he fought with, guys who were undefeated or only had a few losses here and there, so he never got a title shot either, obviously, but, he fought a lot of tough guys in the mix there between the guys who had lopsided records, and he looks like he caught you at the end of your career, maybe, and, you know, also got lucky.
Had the
break off for sure. You know, the press, at the time, this game came out next day, they
both
told me to work on the
fight, you know.
But
it's all right.
Other
people
took
notes.
Now, what's that like to deal with when you've gotten through, back then, it was probably 15 rounds, right? Most fights?
Title fights, yeah, 15 rounds.
And when you get through a 15 round fight and you know you won, that's got to be really frustrating to end up, you know,
in my mind going to the ring. So I wasn't thinking right. was in terrific shape. And all, you know, I got hit with a wild left hook on the break. You know, he sucker punched at me and he broke my jaw. And I grabbed it, hung on till the round was over with. And then I just took the knife and came down. And then I came back and of course I broke the jaw. That was one of the toughest guys I ever fought.
He got it, didn't he?
Hello?
Tony
was
on the line. Tony
doesn't know you. Well, you know, he was anybody else, you know, that there's no one right to knock me out, that's for sure. But I'm not bragging about that, but I have conditioning, and I have a good job. And I have been on a roll with a punch, you know, that's one of the things in my training.
Sure. You don't see a lot today. You don't see a lot of the good little tricks in there. You don't see a lot of that. A lot of times, a lot of these boxing gyms, you're in there, they throw you on the bag a few times, and then if you're ready to spark up rounds, you're a fighter. I was fortunate enough, I had one trainer that had working at my gym, I worked with a couple of fighters in the 70s, like Bastisat Muhammad and a couple of other guys out of Philadelphia. It's like Phil Turner, right?
Yeah, Phil Turner, that's one of the good friends.
Yeah, that's right. I used to train with his nephew.
What did you do?
His nephew, and I used to train at the same gym in Philadelphia.
So fighting the kids above him?
So it's not you who is no longer fighting. He retired a couple years ago.
I said, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, we used to train each other to start a little bit. Just try to set it up. They had aerial breaks.
Oh, well. Time goes by, doesn't it? And we all want to
get started.
Is there anything else I can tell about you?
Well, we were just going to ask you, any final thoughts or anybody you want to thank or give a shout out to or anything like that? Anything you want to say, any final thoughts or anybody you want to thank or give a shout out to?
Well, I can thank all the guys that are friends in boxing and also Aaron Mike especially and Keeping Joe Dimitri, that I had the honest people to ask him anyways, you know. I wish him well. And I hope that everything that I'm working on right now will come true, that you all understand that the real Tiger Woods third champion, the young crowd champion. And I promise you, I'll get my daughter as a witness right here, that when the new book comes out, you guys can get a copy of the autograph and sign it here.
Well, I definitely hope that, pulls out and does make that impact that you're looking for on the sport of boxing, because Tony and I, you know, even though we disagree about MMA, we still both appreciate the sport of boxing, and MMA wouldn't be there without boxing. It's such a crucial part of it, and even, I know I didn't get a chance to weigh some of this earlier, but, you know, even the MMA fights you see, people start booing when they don't see the boxing in the MMA, you know, when the guys aren't toe-to-toe punching each other. You know, they like the kicks too, but it's all about the good punching. Guys beat the crap out of each other toe to toe in the center of the ring or the cage, wherever you are. It's an essential part of any fight game is the punch, you know. And boxing is where you got to start anywhere when you want to start.
Well, I don't know. The MMA doesn't have that down. I'm not putting them down, but it's not my style of boxing. Is class. That's what I call it, class. And those guys with the knees, elbows, all kinds of stuff, you know, that's not real boxing. That's not, it's fine. And I'll interrupt you in something you're saying, but that's my opinion. Of course, I'm not putting the sport down. I'm just saying that.
A lot of people like to compare them, you know. It's funny. Like, there's other people that say, you know, they're apples and oranges. You can't compare them. And we did a whole series. We did, like, you know, all kinds of experts debating each other over, you know, which sport is better. And in the end, you know, you come to the conclusion that no matter what, these sports are going to be around for a while. You got to learn from each other, you know, and that's one of the things that I thought was most interesting about that whole series is that little things would come out, like we had a boxing historian on who talked about Muhammad Ali learning little things from his wife who was doing martial arts about, you know, like certain ways of angles of punches, the chopping punch that he used to do on guys' shoulders. He learned that from martial arts, apparently. So, I mean, there's little things you can take back and forth and little tricks of the trade that work in both sports that people don't even realize. You know? And a lot of things, one story I got to tell on MMA, you know, a lot of people will downplay MMA and say boxers are tougher and stuff like that. But the one day I found out different was I used to go around to parties when I was drinking too much and say, you know, hit me in the stomach because I used to work out a lot on my stomach, my block, my ab muscles. So I did this to a guy who had some martial arts training once, and he hit me with just one little quick flat-handed punch and knocked me, I swear to God, across the room, off my feet. Nobody had ever done that with a punch before, so there's something to that martial arts. So, what?
At least you could have a drinking.
Right. I wasn't that drunk. No, the room was spinning for a reason.
Lightweight, little guy, little Mac, they call him. And I'm sure they have a lot to talk about. mailbox is full. I cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Oh, really? Is that time? Yeah, that's too bad for Danny McDermott.
Dorchester and did some bootleg highlight reels of
a little while ago that are on our YouTube page. And actually, J.D. O'Connor fought in that one. That's how I got connected with his manager. But make a long story short, these Go Fight Live people, they're starting to show up everywhere, and they stream live fights through your computer so you can watch them, you know, for like $5 a pop. It's not like pay-per-view, $59.95. It's very affordable. And we get 50 cents a view for everybody who clicks on the link through our website. So if you buy it through them, we get a little chump change for referring you to them. So go to unlimitedfightnews.com/watchfightslive.htm. We'll be updating it every now and then and adding whatever's coming up and whatever they give us to link to. I don't know if they are going to let us do every fight like that that they have available or if they just want us to do certain ones. But we're going to try to keep maintaining that relationship and keeping that going. But there's obviously some big events going on here. In mixed martial arts, we talked a little bit about the boxing going on, but this Saturday we have three big events that you can watch live through the site. One of them is Night of Champions. And it's Saturday the 27th at the Crown Plaza Event Center. And three pro fights are going to be on that card. So you can watch that. And then Muay Thai, select Muay Thai stuff. There's going to be 10 world title fights on this card from Montego Bay in Jamaica. Must be a nice place to watch a fight. That's June 26th, tomorrow night. You can watch that on our setup there. And then, of course, Ultimate Chaos is this weekend. This is that one that I was saying last week. I didn't know the date on, but it was coming up. Bobby Lashley versus Bob the Beast Sapp. That's going to be a great muscle-bound black guy fight. We got Bob the Beast. He lives up to his name. He's a big guy. But Bobby Lashley is no little guy either. I think Bob has way more experience, but he's also known to not be good at taking a punch sometimes. If you've ever seen some of his MMA clips, you know what I'm talking about. There's one fight where he was against Mirko Krokop, the Croatian guy there. And he got punched, I think it was a right hook right in the jaw, and he started crying. Literally, like crying in the ring. It was sad. And but anyway, I think he's overcome all that. And Bobby Lashley is going to be fighting an uphill battle, I think, trying to beat Bob Sapp. At the same time, Bob Sapp's been really looking for anybody to fight lately, and he is kind of at the tail end of his career. Well, Lashley is just, you know, brand new to it, up and coming, still young, and I think it's a good matchup. And it's the headline fight for that Saturday, but there's also going to be some other good undercard fights. We've got Gilbert Nadal versus Pedro Rizzo. Pedro Rizzo is a guy that's been around the UFC a little bit back and forth, had some conditioning problems, was out of the sport for a little while, now he's back in. Dean Thomas is another UFC guy, he's going to be there. And he was last in the news for having supposed illegal fights that he arranged at his gym, that he charged admission for, but they didn't get any clearance for it, you know, and it was like a smoker setup that they did. And totally illegal, but I think he got out of those charges. They dropped the charges. And, anyway, he's fighting Javier Vasquez, Dean Thomas. We have Chris Horodecki versus William Sraipai. I don't know how you pronounce that. And then, interestingly enough, we have Tom Atencio is fighting in this card. And if you don't know who Tom Atencio is, go to affliction.com. Sure, I guess that's got to be their website. But Affliction MMA. Fiction, the t-shirt company. Tom Atencio is there. He's known as the t-shirt guy. He's like the number one figurehead for that company. And now he's fighting in MMA. Not just running the MMA company. Fighting this guy, Randy Hederick. And I didn't read it. I sat to admit, but there's an article on our blog about this. I think I put it up a couple of days ago. So if you want to know more about that, check that out. Tom Atencio. Let's just hope it's not a Dana White versus Tito Ortiz thing. that's coming up. And that's just the stuff that you can watch on our site this weekend. That's not everything that's going on this weekend. podcast. Cage Force 11 is in Tokyo, Japan. That's, of course, full of Japanese guys, that card. But there's only two of them, so I'm going to read their names. Two fights on this card, both three rounds here. Three rounders. Daiju Takase and Shuji Morikawa is the first one. And then we have Iseo Tarada versus Yuta Nidu. So there you go. That's Cage Force 11 for you. And the local folks, I don't think I'm going to be able to make this fight either, unfortunately. You got two choices, MMA and boxing, in the same neighborhood. You can't get to it, but oh well. Out in Wilmington, Massachusetts, we have a World Championship Fighting 7th card. We have four fights listed on here. Calvin Catter versus Rodrigo Almeida. Dan Bunnell versus Dan O'Keefe. John Benoit versus Damian Trites. Dave Keefe versus Ronnie Bush. So that card. And we go to TDP Toyama Impact. Another one in Japan, Toyama Japan. Kenji Arai versus Kunihiro Watanabe is the first fight. We have Yuichi Hikari versus Takaki Aoki. Yoshihiro Tomioka versus Takafumi Ito. And Miko Matsumoto versus Lisa Ward. You know what? When you throw an American name in, laugh. Alright, so. Then we go all the way to the 30th, June 30th, for a deep 42nd impact. And that's also in Japan. We only have one fight listed, Riki Fukada versus Yuichi Nakanishi. So that looks like all that's going on for MMA coming up this weekend that I can find here. I think there's another UFC coming up next weekend as well, or early July. UFC 100, I know it's coming up. July 11th is UFC 100. So we'll be talking about that in the upcoming weeks here. So then, that's really got all that's going on. There's not too much. A lot of local stuff going on this weekend, though. So if you want to watch it live on your computer, go through us and make sure that someday, you know, we can get some actual paychecks going for people like Tony over here. Come on. It's sad, because the other day, you know, this guy that, Jack Bratcher, the guy that does ProMMA.info now, that started out with us, I gave him his first start, and he's telling me the other day that he's just gotten to the point where he can pay his guys now. And he's working with a real web professional for the design, so he's got an advantage there, but, you know, he does a lot of work himself for them, and I hooked him up with the MMA AdNet, and he's getting like three times as much payment out of them per month than I'm getting. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I got a million more. I already figured out something that he does. It's interesting. He's got a lot of those little widgets and RSS feeds and all that stuff that you got to do. So I think there's a redesign of the blog in order pretty soon here. I'm going to have to really get fancy and get with the times because it's all about that Facebook style nowadays. You know, everything's real small and you know, you don't have the web page take up the whole page. So but hey, that's what you get. You do it on your own. As far as boxing goes, we kind of really steamed through the schedule here. Just want to go and see if I missed anything. I just got the word today about who I'm going to be sparring with. And it's a guy who is a contender alumni. Can you believe that? He's going to throw me to the wolves. Watch out for the hammer. lost his last two fights. One of them was against a guy who was 9-0, and the other one had 19 wins and was 200 pounds. He's fighting him, so looks like he's going to be outweighing me here. I haven't weighed myself in a while, but I just found out today. I went out to hit the bag, right? I'm like, why is it flat? And I had to undo my whole contraption, about $50 worth of duct tape on the thing, just to find out right above the spot where you're supposed to put the needle in to inject the air. It's split open, so it's all done. And it's perfect timing, because I already bought all this stuff to make a new one, but I thought I was going to have two, you know? So I was going to see if I could pawn one off somewhere as an example, see if I could sell future ones. But nope, now I got to make the backup into the real thing and put everything back together again. So next time you see the video, you might see a little bit of the new version of the bag. You might see me in training in the actual sparring. I think I'm going to do actual sparring before I get back on the bag again. But yeah, it's still a work in progress. There's some design flaws, obviously. Thing busted open on me. Can't have that. Final product. So this is a brand new setup that I got. Hopefully it works better.
Other than that, that's all I got. You got anything else worth mentioning?
No, not really. It's a potentially strenuous thing for fight. But with the tablet fight out, another really good fight was supposed to be this weekend, a rematch between Chris John and Rocky Juarez.
Oh yeah, it sounds like that got canceled.
Yeah, it got canceled. I think John was really sick and they were going to put a replacement in, and then that fell through. So that, I mean, I was looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I got a bit of more bad news, much as I sort of love bad news. Very exciting fight I was looking forward to on July 11th between Steve Cunningham and Wade Brantley. Former champion, Cunningham, former champion, fighting to be the main tour contender for Thomas Adamack. It's not going to be televised. It's going to be on the non-televised part of the show, or the Showtime card.
Yeah, what can you do? Hopefully you'll find it on YouTube. website, contact info at unlimitedfightnews.com, and you can check out the Tony Pinn account. Eventually, well, I'll be saying that. We'll see if we can get you at least some energy drinks this month. Up and prepped for the next show here. But we've got a new month coming up, so we'll take care of you. All you ring girls out there, too, can't forget to mention that. We didn't have the ring girl contest this month. We had too much going on, and we had it last month. And we ended up having to give stuff to two winners because there was some controversy with the voting. So this month we took off, but next month we will definitely have a new one. I've already got a lot of good candidates, so if any ladies out there listening want to get involved, just send us 5 picks and a little bit of the bio, and we'll get you a pick. Yeah. Actually, that's one of the things that's hardest for me to do is do the video, so I wouldn't mind that at all. Yeah. And, I'm sure your eyes won't hurt when you're done either. Until next week, folks, it's been great. I want to thank Joey for coming on, Joey Giambro, the most deserving guy to ever get a title shot. And we can't wait for that book and the movie. It's sure going to be good. And we need a big boxing movie. We were talking about this last week. We didn't get all of it on the air last week, unfortunately. We got cut off, but we were talking about the Rocky movies. And they weren't really that great for boxing as far as, you know, showing people what boxing is really all about. As far as the fight scenes, anyway, like I said, it just wasn't, didn't impress me much watching it after the fact, you know. When you're a kid, it's different, but when you're watching it after you box and you know what it's all about, you know, I kind of get sick to my stomach sometimes when I see that this is the hero. Doing there and and showing her progress. You know, I want to see more of those videos. I want to see if, you know, it's going to be worthwhile to hire you as my trainer someday, you know.
I'm